Hi, everybody. This is Pam coming to you from the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering. And it's also freely available as a download with iTunes. Today, as always, I have another amazing woman who is going to share her story with us. So I'm excited to have, and I'm sorry in advance if I mess your name up, but I'm going to give it a good shot. Kafwi, is that right?
Yes, it's correct. You're doing good.
Oh, okay, great. So Kafwi, if you could formally introduce yourself and tell us where you're from and what you do.
Okay, sure. Hello, everybody. Pam, first of all, thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for this this conversation. Okay, so I'm Kafwi. I'm originally from West Africa, but I also grew up in France. I'm 31 years old. I study law. I'm actually a lawyer. And currently, I'm spending some time at the U.S. To prepare a master's degree in law. So I'm living in Minneapolis, and I'm having good time here. So that's why.
Okay. Well, wonderful, and I'm so glad that you're willing to share a little bit of your story with us. So why did you want to become a lawyer?
Oh, it's a long story, but to make it short, first, actually my father is a lawyer. I also have one brother who is also a lawyer, and I would say so that it's a kind of family tradition.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and then, you know, when I finished high school, I didn't know exactly, you know, which profession, which kind of path I would like to do. And so I just take control of my, you know, family members and jump into that. But also, I think in some ways, I also want to, you know, make something linking to the development and economic regulation and development, stuff like that. It was a kind of, you know, confused. But my parents told me, you know what, you went to law school, that opened a lot of doors, so you will do that after. So yeah, I just jumped into that. So that basically.
Now you said that you're already a lawyer. So
yeah.
have you practiced as a lawyer?
Yes, actually I'm a lawyer since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
I've practiced like 2 years in West Africa and 1 year in France.
Okay.
And yes, and actually I went to law school to become a transactional transaction lawyer, but because of course my speech problem, but the fact is at the end I work mostly as a litigation lawyer, so that I had a very hard time to deal with that, and that's also one of the reasons why maybe I'm at the U.S. now and I'm making a kind of break.
Okay. Now you said that your speech problem got in the way of your ability to practice law.
Yeah, sure. Because deciding to become a lawyer, knowing that you have a speech problem, it's a very, you know, weird decision to take or complicated, but the fact is I have to make a point is that in France, in the law profession, we have two or three professions into one. That means that you have you will have transaction lawyer, litigation lawyer, counsel, in-house lawyer, and all these professions they are knowing, or they are regulated under the by the bar association, and you have to take the bar exam, and you become a lawyer. But even if once you start practicing, you can do only transaction, only litigation, or become a counselor. So I don't know if I'm clear. So the point is, when I decided to become a lawyer, it was must to become a transaction lawyer. That means to work more on regulation, on writing contracts, negotiation, but not going to court because I was afraid of course, all that, you know, public speaking. So I didn't want a law school, and I didn't want to become a lawyer to be a litigation lawyer. That was on my mind. And the fact is, in my family, so the two persons who are lawyers, my father and my brother. My father is a lawyer in Africa, and he is a litigation lawyer, and he has a law firm. And but I grew up in France with my brother, who is a transaction lawyer. And so when I decided to go to the law school, it was more on my brother's example. And so I want to become a transaction lawyer. But at the end, I spent some time with my father and with the family law firm, and I didn't have any choice. I had to do litigation. And so that was the time that my career started to become a little bit different from what I expected. And I decided to take a different direction or to make a course before to start again.
Mm-hmm. Now, did anybody ever come right out and tell you that you couldn't be a specific type of lawyer because of your stuttering, or did you just think that wouldn't be possible?
Yeah, actually, nobody did really tell me that or something that, but maybe in some way I would like that, but it's just that I just come with my, you know, observation, and it looks obvious to me that once I didn't actually I start my first therapy this year only. So we all know that stuttering is a very, very complex disorder. It's not only about the speech. There is a lot of things under that. And since all my at the law school, my first years of practice, I knew that there is something weird around me, but I can't exactly put a name on the monster. And so when I decided to go to the law school and to practice, nobody really come to me and say to me that you can't do this kind of practice or this kind of because you have this problem. No, it was just. And when I jumped into the profession in West Africa, because there is also a fact, my father is a politician, so we have a public life. He has been a very good lawyer, maybe one of the first after the decolonization in Africa. So he was a kind of very, you know, special and important lawyer in my country. So everybody, you know, have the eyes of, oh, okay, his daughter is also a lawyer. She has to do as good as the father, you know, this kind of stuff. And that was very, very, very complicated for me because I don't really talk about my stuttering with anybody. Mm-hmm. And so in my family, so you just 25, you leave Africa since 15 years, and you come back in a country that you don't know anything about, and you have this pressure on you. So that was very, very difficult, and maybe it was the beginning of my, you know, the thing that usually make you decide that you have to work on your trouble. So I think everything starts from that.
Right. Now, were you afraid that maybe you would disappoint your father, or maybe like make the family look bad because you stutter?
Yeah, Yes, exactly, and definitely, yes. I was afraid of that because of the background of my father, the pressure in the court and in the profession. And it was my first year of experience. And unfortunately, I was in an area where my father didn't really have time at the law firm. And so I was a kind of, I had to learn by myself, actually. So it was, I was afraid to disappoint my father, the image that he had, But also I had the feeling that I can't do that. I'm not able. I can't do that. Even if I want to do that, the fact was that literally I can't do it. I didn't, I can't. And so I just asked myself and of course, everybody around me telling me, hey, you have good degrees. You have been to, a very good university. What happened to you? Why can't you just go to the coach room and speak? That seems so easy. So, yeah.
I certainly understand because, I stuttered since I was 5 years old. And just like you, I never talked about it with anybody in my family. And when I, made the decision to go to college, I also chose something that I thought would not require a lot of talking because, I had the doubts that I wouldn't be able to be successful in whatever I wanted to do. I actually wanted to teach and thought I could never do that if I stutter, So I definitely understand what you're talking about. So you never had any therapy as a child?
Yes. As I said before, no, I never had it. But the fact was that when I was 11, I went one time to see a therapist, what we call in France, orthophonist, and so I went to his office, and unfortunately for me, I was very fluent. So at the end of the meeting, he just said to me, little girl, you don't have any problem. You go okay. You don't stutter, And so that was very, very weird. But the fact was that I'm moving in France without my parents, and I stay with my relatives, my brother. And the fact is, we used to talk about stuttering and the cause of stuttering. And actually, one of the reasons why I accepted to do this conversation with you, it was just that of course, like every one of us, I'm very concerned. But also, I think that we are on the good way now, about the research on stuttering, the cause, the way that we are talking about it. And it's just that it's very complex, and I just started my first therapy this year, and it was a kind of interesting experience because my speech language pathologist, she's a lady who is very professional and who is trying to work, using the new techniques and methods, like the one that we see in the movie. So she's just trying to work on the psychology causes and also the physical causes. And one of the reasons why I'm so concerned is that stuttering is not only linked to the the speech, and everyone's own history. I think we have to take time to work on, maybe on ourselves if we need help, like concern and stuff like that. But the fact is, I grew up far from my parents. And the first time when I was 11 that I saw the speech therapist and he said that you don't have any problem, I think that if at work time I went with my mom or someone very close, they will say that, okay, sure, we know that at this moment, everything seems okay. But I can tell you that my child, since 1 year old, she has this kind of trouble, you know. And so maybe that could be helpful. And the fact is, it wasn't the case. And from 11 until 25, I was stuck with my speech. I was trying to hide it just to make my parents, my friends, and myself comfortable to try to have a normal life. But it was sure that something wasn't okay with me, and I didn't have a very normal social life, like having friends, hanging out, having a conversation and stuff like that. It was like something is not correct, and no one around me really has the courage to say that. Maybe the speech or something else. So yeah, until I was 25, I moved to Africa, and I was far. So I was close to my parents at that time, and far from my brother. And we know that stuttering has a different causes. And the fact is, I have been abused with one of the members of my family until I was 25. And this kind of abuse, which was sexual abuse, can be also one of the causes of this disorder. So I'm very, you know, I just want to make this conversation, to make people, you know, to understand that they really need to know that they can deal with stuttering. They can control it, or maybe they can stop stuttering or be over with this problem. Because once you really working on yourself or have a good therapy, you can go deeply in the causes and the different factors that we have, the exogenous stuff with the emotion and all the aspects of that. It's really possible to, you know, to unbuild the thing and to feel better. So yeah, that was the kind of situation in my life I have been in.
Yeah. Or do you feel better about yourself since you've started therapy and started working on some of the emotional aspects?
Yeah, definitely. And the way that I'm surprised the way that we are having this conversation because I didn't really stutter since a few moments. But maybe just because I'm alone in my house with a microphone. Kind of easy, but I can say that a few months back, I only started my therapy in September, so it's not so long, like 6 months. And I will really speak with you with a lot of anxiety and being afraid that something will happen very soon. Didn't know when, didn't know how, don't know how I will deal with it. And and the time that we spent working on the to make you more familiar with the stuttering. I don't have the English correct word. Desensitize, yes, is the right word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the time that I spent in therapy to work on to understand stuttering, where it comes from, and stuff like that. That really helped me to feel comfortable, to understand the problem. What causes it? Why you can speak when you're alone and when you are, you know, that different kind of stuff. And you hear like John Harrison's history and other people who had this problem and the way that they deal with, like stuttering is a kind of port, you know, or communication is a kind of port. You have to practice to be good. You have to practice to improve. And if during all your life you didn't speak, you hide or you spend with a closed mouth, it's true that you can't be good in this exercise. So it was huge. It was important. And I remember that one day in therapy, I just came in the room and the lady, and my lady, my therapist, just told me, you know what, okay, you, because you spent so long time having this behavior, but you know that maybe you will need the same time to make this behavior, this bad behavior off. So it's like something that was building and you have to rebuild again. And because of this thing in your life, maybe that's good. And you just look at her and you say that it's not fair. I mean, I will maybe stutter all my life, whereas I'm a good person. I'm smart. I'm doing everything my parents told to me since I'm a kid. You know, it's not fair that maybe you are at the wrong place at the wrong moment with the wrong problem, with the wrong person who caused you a very stupid stuff that puts you in a block that you have to deal with, and that makes you different from the other, and you're so angry. And I just told her that it's fun. It's not fair, and I just started to cry. And I remember that it was a very black day. And suddenly, you know, so it's not fair. It's not fair, but it's a life. And fortunately, you meet some at some time, some that help you to, you know, deal with it.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like that was a really tough moment for you. But it also sounds like maybe dealing with the emotional stuff very, very concentrated like this is also like really helping you to embrace this part of your life like maybe you've never have before.
Yeah, definitely. And as we say, we have a different kind of stutters and different causes, but I think that there is a bottom line. There is not so much explanation and causes. And in my case, I can say that it was mostly the emotional part and because of an emotional assault or difficulty. And so I just know that I have to work on this part of my outburst, and if I can break it, if I can break the fear linked to the who I am, what happened to me exactly, and maybe not only work on the stuttering, but work on the effect of a sexual assault, maybe from there I will be able to work better on my stuttering. So yeah, the stuttering was just the way that I reacted to something worse. So yeah, it was very important to know and to work with this SLP. Mm-hmm. and mostly to take time to read about the causes of the stuttering. But it's really something that, but you have to spend, in my case, I spent a lot of time reading about it, and I know that I didn't finish yet, and or maybe I just discovered a very little part of this stuff. But it's really something that I know that during this year at the law school, when I get back home, maybe sometime I spend more time on the reading stuff, on the stuttering, more than in my cases, you know. So it was just that a kind of discovery or kind of. So I think that speech therapy and the work that the SLPs are doing is very, very important. And one reason I'm like, I like the way I found the place that I am now is that, you know, I think that in most of the U.S. schools, you have SLP that work with the children, mm-hmm. I think. We don't have the same system in France. So I think that maybe if early, if I had the opportunity at the school to have an SLP and to be in touch with them and to work with them, maybe I will not, have so much to deal with today. I don't know. But from what I know so far is that I think that the SLP has a very good part in the children's education at the U.S. And it's a very good thing because we can avoid some disasters.
Well, yeah, you're right, and that's an excellent point because, you know, here in the U.S., you know, if therapists can work with children when they're young and help them not develop the fears that you're talking about, even if they continue stuttering into adulthood like myself. You know, if you don't have those strong fears and feelings of inadequacy, the children are bound to grow up feeling better about themselves and being okay with having a difference. And as you've noted, that makes a big difference in how you feel about yourself and how you react. Yeah. So How did you find the particular SLP that you're working with?
How old that I, the one that I'm working with now?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah, I just discovered in the last September. Actually, she's an SLP at the University of Minnesota.
Okay.
So I'm working with her since March only. So until September. Actually, mm-hmm. Less than 1 year.
Uh-huh. But I mean, how did you find out
How did I find her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, no, it was just that actually I think when I was ready to move to the US, I had a big fight with my boyfriend, with my fiance actually. We broke up. And actually without any reason, you know, even if he was a very kind, he was a very, you know, it was like, you know, the perfect story, if I can say that even. But the fact that we broke up without any explanation, I didn't do anything, and I don't know if he, and I think he also didn't do anything, you know. Very basically. And I was so surprised and so shocked that I just asked myself, what happened? What was wrong? What was the problem, you know? And so that makes me feel like, oh, maybe it's because of something wrong with you. You feel that there is something wrong since so many years, but you can't really touch it with your. And so it was the time that I moved to the U.S. And as I say to you, I have a very complicated relation with one of my relatives, my brother. So moving to the U.S. was also a way to move far from him. And I think that was, maybe that was just the time. And I feel really that in my relationship, maybe if you have a further problem and that with which you are not really okay and you see that something is wrong with that, maybe you need to start from there and to work on yourself for your future relation.
And so
I moved to Minnesota and I just went on the US on the website of the university. I looked for the state department that they have here. I went to the office, I see the advisor, and he just told me that he would recommend me to one of the SLPs, and that's how I started.
Great. Wow. Wow. That's wonderful, because it definitely sounds like you're really pleased with her and how it's been working out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now, have you met other people who stutter since you've been here?
Yeah, sure. So once I start working with her, I went to the NSA meeting, and so she recommended strongly that I do that. So I went to the NSA, and it was also one way to desensitize. I've never had this worldwide. It was also one way to be more comfortable and to understand the problem. You know mm-hmm. other work that the NSA is doing, and the fact that you see other stuttering, that make you, you know, think about yourself, knowing that, like, the face stuff that we're doing, that when we're stuttering, the block that we have, it's maybe the way that others can see us. And so it's a way to desensitize with the problem. And it was very, very helpful. But I see at that time that I have a very hard time to speak with people who are stuttering, because I find it very weird. And as it was one way, maybe it's stupid, but I think to myself that, no, I don't want to look like that. I don't want to speak like that. Because you know that usually when you think with someone who is stuttering, you think that he's stupid, you know. And so you just say to yourself that, okay, I know that some can control their stuttering. And the fact is, at the first NSA meeting, I met a woman. She's very extraordinary, a special woman. And during other meetings, she spoke without stuttering, and I found that amazing. And at the end, I just asked her if she's also a person who's having this problem, and she told me that yes, she had that, and she went to the, you know, there is one in New York, I think it's the American Association or something like that.
Yes.
So she went to the practice in New York for 2 weeks, you know, where you have to do a very strange thing, like going the subway and saying loudly that you're stuttering. And so she told me that she did that, and once she was adult, she had an adult therapy, and that helped her very, very, very much. And that using the technique helped her very much. And so I just told her she didn't stutter, or even if she stutter, it's not embarrassing. And I just saw also one man who can control his problem like that. And so I just decided that, okay, you have those who stutter without control and those who do it with control. I want to look like them do it with control. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So have you thought about maybe trying one of those intensive programs like that, like the American Institute for Stuttering?
Yeah, sure. I'm just at the beginning of my therapy.
Right.
But I think I will move forward, even if for some professional and personal reasons, I have to leave the U.S. for some time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the country where I'm going to, I will find also a good SFP and a good group to work with. But the fact is that if I can do all of one of these intensive programs, I will. But the fact is definitely I will still work with an SFP. And seeing with her what I had to do now and the different stuff to do in the next month. But it's a long road, and I'm just at the beginning, but I'm still in the therapy with, and self-therapy also by my reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just want to say this. You know, you say that you're just at the beginning and it's a very long road. I have to say that I respect you tremendously for being willing to come on here and talk as openly as you are.
Yeah.
When you're so early into your own therapy, because this takes a lot of courage to be as honest as you are, and you know, I would say that you're much farther along than you think.
I don't know, but thank you. I love that. I don't know. We'll see that in a few times. Yeah, if I don't know.
I mean, really. I mean, other people are going to be hearing your story, and I think people are going to be very inspired by your willingness to do this when you've spent so long being covert and hiding your stuttering.
Yeah.
So this is a big step.
Mm-hmm, I hope. And that's one of the reason why I'm doing that. If I can help some people, then I think we should.
Absolutely. Now, how did you find out about the covert email list? Because that's where we kind of met.
Yeah, definitely. It was also a part of my therapy and the willing to know more about that too. So I'm at the U.S. in 6 months, but I'm just English is not my mother tongue. I'm a French speaker, but you know, I'm just searching a lot on the internet, and my therapist told me that if you can, don't try to be with people who have the same problem. Try to join some group, trying to do the Toastmaster meeting, of course, if you can, and try to do stuff like that. So yeah, I know that even if I can say people with whom I can speak on the everyday basis, but this conflict side with the problem is very, very important to be close with those who have the same issue. So I think I just Googled stuttering group, and I see the different one, and think that our group, the cover one, is one of the first that pop up. And so I just take it and say that if I have a good feeling with the group members, if I learn, and the one of the reasons why is because after some days I really started to learn a lot and new things about this issue, and very interesting and very concerned. So I was definitely, yes, happy to find out, and I stayed in the group, and I hope.
Mm-hmm. And obviously you feel like it's helped you to be able to relate to other people who stutter, but also tried to keep it covert, right?
Yeah, but maybe covert maybe for some professional reasons. Maybe I will, because you know, in the process with the therapy, you know, you have to advertise about your stuttering or say it the most often that you can. But I think that in some situations, and it's helpful to be covered. You don't need to cover yourself or hide stuff to yourself, but maybe to protect yourself and your stuttering, if I can say that. In some situations, yes, it's a good thing to take over. So I don't know if you want me to join another group to leave the government. I don't know.
No,
it's not a joke.
No, but you know what? That's a good point that you make, because I've heard many people say that, you know, for professional reasons, that, you know, sometimes, you know, not being open about your stuttering, or, you know, choosing to maybe switch a word here and there, it does preserve your sense of vulnerability. And professionally, you know, we're human. We always want to look our best and make a good impression. So, you know, I think that's a very fair and honest thing for you to say.
Yeah, definitely, because I think that maybe the one, you know, that you will deal with, because he didn't know about this issue, he will have the wrong reaction, the wrong reaction. And maybe you can't really say that for your therapy, because you have to advertise about this issue. You have to everyone and in every situation say that you had this issue. Maybe it's just good to respect also others, you know, to just cover sometimes. But it's not like you are hiding something against you, but it's just a way to be, you know. Yeah, but it's the way that I feel it now, but maybe in some time I would change my mind. Mm-hmm.
Well, just like you said, it's a journey, and you're learning all these new things about yourself, specifically, and stuttering in general. And as you begin to process all this and allow it to make sense for you, you may begin to make some different choices about where where you'll allow yourself to go, but it's all part of the journey and the growth process.
Yes, exactly, definitely, and especially when you are, because one of the reasons of your blog is to, you know, to put the light on the woman, because they all see, okay, how we women are dealing with this problem. But the fact is, with a professional life, it's very complicated. And if I take only my profession, I mean, it's a big deal. You want to be a lawyer. It's very complicated. And so sometimes I'm just so, you know, so sad and so disappointed. And you just say that, okay, what I'm going to do now? It's like you want to be a teacher, but you stutter. But I mean, you spend your life on that. You study on that. So what you have to do now, either you face the problem and you try to, you know, to deal with, and you just have to see the others around you who have this problem, like and who can deal with, have a very tough profession, like teacher, like lawyer, like CEO, very complicated and hard profession. And at the end, maybe you just say to yourself, maybe it's not really the deeper problem, you know. Communication, to be able to communicate, it's a long process. And it's something that everyone learning, you know, at the beginning, from your life experience. So, yeah, you just have to learn the way to communicate. And there is a different way, a lot of ways to communicate. It's not only the speech or the speech communicate, you know, with writing, and in the speech you have a different kind of speech communication. So it's complicated. So maybe when you're a woman, you have a profession, you know, it's very, very, it's not fair to have this issue. you are there, you have to live, you have to pay your bills, you have to, it's very, very complicated. So yeah, I don't know yet if there is a lot of successful women who deal with, overcome, and are completely happy in their professional life. That's why I will go more and more often on your blog and to see what I can find. But for the moment, sometimes I'm very, you know, sad and disappointed because I lost my boyfriend. Professionally, I didn't start yet. I spent a lot of years on my study. And so it's very, very hard, you know. I want to be able to, be, you know, to do the big check with my parents and say that, okay, you invest on, you know, that's the return. But because of something happened to you, that caused you something else, stuttering and other stuff. It's not fair, but, you know, it's like,
You're right. It's not fair, but you know, we have to deal with what we have, and we have to, you know, you know, as the American saying goes, you try to make lemonade with lemons, you know, you try to do the very best that you can. And you made a good point that I kind of want to just maybe wind down with. There's so much more to communication than just being perfectly fluent. And, you know, it includes body language and eye contact and, you know, how you connect with people. And again, we don't have to be perfectly fluent to be good communicators. And you're definitely a testament to that, because you've communicated beautifully in our conversation here today.
Thank you. I try my best. My first language, I'm learning, and so, yes, and also in my process, I just think when I understand the problem and I start my therapy, I think that I have to return in a French-speaking country, I will do better, I will have better improvement, so through that restoring when you speak two, three, or different languages, it can be another issue. So, yeah, I think to return in a French-speaking country. So, yeah, the language is also an issue, but maybe it's too far from what you are saying.
Well, I just want to, again, say thank you for sharing with us and telling your story. It takes a lot of courage and guts, and I'm glad that you did this with us.
Thank you so much. I think it takes more courage, you know, to tell the truth to yourself, or maybe just to admit that there is a problem or there is something wrong, or you can be okay if you have not a speech problem, but you're feeling that something maybe emotionally is not working right. And people don't have to be afraid to face the what makes the emotion don't making things right. So it's more complicated to face the real problem. You know, the real problem is not the surgery in most of the cases. It's something else. And to find the courage really to do that. So, yeah, I was happy to spend some time with you. So sorry for the English, sorry for the bad words, the grammar. Like that.
Not at all. Not at all. It's been my pleasure, and I just, you know, again, want to say thank you. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.